we had said we would continue doing pre-Pesach, and I picked a topic that I wanted to look into, and I came across an article that I'm going to quote at one point here, which gave me an understanding of it, and that is the problem of lettuce as maror. From the perspective of the Gemara, it's very clear that not only is lettuce maror, but lettuce is the ideal form of maror. On the other hand, people always ask when they have lettuce from maror, it's not at all bitter. And how can you fulfill maror with lettuce? Yeah.
You mean specifically
any lettuce or just
romaine lettuce?
So romaine is the one that we use. Remember that different breeds of lettuce have emerged over time. And the popular, let's say, iceberg is a relatively recent variety of lettuce. Whereas romaine, we do know to be an older breed. But part of it is actually going to figure into the identification of lettuce as maror as we go through it. But we begin by taking a look at the first source, which is where you have to begin this conversation, which is the Gemara in Pesachim that identifies the traits for maror. Mishnah says in Pesachim Lametesim Aleph, Ve'ilu yirakot sha'adam yotzei bohen yedecha vasa b'pesach, the following yirakot are going to be eligible for you to use for Pesach. Chazeres is the first one, and chazeres is chasa, which is lettuce. Tamcha, which Rishonim render as horseradish, although they likely understand it to mean the green on top of the horseradish, not the horseradish root, for reasons that will become clear in a moment. Charchavina, which is subject to some debate. Ulshin is endive, but not what they sell here in the supermarket as endive. It's what they call chicory here. There are two kinds of endive. There's Belgian endive, and then there's endive. And Ulshin is the one that's not Belgian. It's the one that we sell as chicory. It's this kind of tough, bitter. Okay, that could be. It's, you know, it's like all crinkled up.
It's like a lettuce.
Yeah. Well, it's a bitter. It's a bitter.
Yeah, but it's like a shape of a lettuce.
Is it? No. Uvim maror. And then the last one, which is called itself maror, unclear what it is. Yotzin bahen bein lachin bein yevashin. You can fulfill your obligation whether they are moist or whether they have dried out. Avalo kivushin, but not if they are pickled. Velo shalukin, not if they've been cooked. Stewed. Velo mevushalin, or boiled. Umitzdarfen lekizayis. You could theoretically use multiple species and combine them for the olive-sized amount. The yotzin bekelach shalahen, and you fulfill the mitzvah with the kelach. The kelach is the stem, which is why I said it's not the root of the horseradish. So the Mishnah gives us these five species, and in the Gemara it goes into what the criteria are. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol sheyesh lo saraf. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to have sap. It's a plant that has some kind of a sap in it. Meaning if you were to open it up, cut it open, there's some kind of a juice to it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer Kol Shapanav Machsifin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, if the color of it is machsif, which Rashi there explains to mean, it's not a strong green color, it's kind of a pale green color. Acherim Omerim Kol Yerek Mar, Yesh Lo Saraf Upanav Machsifin. Acherim, sometimes that's Rabbi Meir, sometimes Rabbi Nassan, but it's any bitter vegetable has a sap in it, and it is pale green. And Amr of Yochanan midivrei kulman kulanil madner yerek mar yesh la sarach upana machsifin and Amr of huna halacha ka'acherim. That is the law. Bitter has a sap in it, and it is this pale green. And so we know, as an aside, that horseradish root is very difficult to categorize as maror, and it wasn't in fact used until very recently in Jewish history.
It wasn't indigenous, was it?
Well, that wasn't indigenous to them, at least, that's for sure. It only begins to be used by Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim are using the horseradish greens in the 14th century, 13th, 14th century. And then what happens is, as the centuries go on, they're not able to get enough of the greens at that time of year when they're living in Poland, when they're living in Germany. And so they ask the Shiloh, can we use the root? And they start using the bit of the root that protrudes above the ground, and considering that to be like part of the kelah, part of the stem. There are chuvos in which they talk about why it is that that it's okay to use the root itself. And the answer seems to be, as funny as it sounds, that there was a lot of concern about checking it properly, checking green leafies properly for bugs. And they said, you know what, maror without a carbon pesach is derabanan. So better to get the Darabanan wrong and avoid eating bugs than to violate a Daraisa by eating the bugs in the pursuit of this Darabanan of Maror. But the horseradish root, it doesn't qualify on many levels. It's also not bitter. It's sharp. It's not bitter. Those are two fundamentally different tastes.
Not everybody holds this.
Yes, so there is a possibility to argue that it's deraisa, correct. So that's the set of criteria that we have is the sap, the pale green color, and that it is bitter. So on that, in the Gemara, as the Gemara continues, Ravina Ashkeche Rav Acha Breid de Rava Dava Mahader Amarirta. Ravina finds that Rav Acha Breid de Rava is trying to get something called Mirirta. Amar Le, he says, what's your rationale? Dimirin Tfe, is it because that's especially bitter? That's why you want this thing called Mirirta? V'hachazeres Tnan. I don't understand, he says. The Mishnah says chazeres, which is lettuce. V'tana deve Shmuel chazeres. In Shmuel's yeshiva, they said chazeres is fine. V'amar bi'oshia mitzvah b'chazeres. V'oshia says that's the mitzvah is chazeres. V'amar rabba, my chazeres, chasa. And that's lettuce. My chasa. Dechas rachmana ilavan. A play on words on chasa. God had mercy on us by taking us out of Egypt. So there's a nice added play on words in using lettuce. Why were the Egyptians compared to Maror? Lo malach, ma Maror zeh shetchilaso rach v'sofo kasha. Just like Maror, in the beginning is soft and then it gets hard as the season goes on. So to the Egyptians got tougher as the slavery went on. And you know the whole idea that they suckered the Jews into working on their buildings and so on. So this is something that gets worse as the season goes on, and that's what lettuce is. So he says, so why are you going for Mirta? So Amar Lei Hadri B. So Rav Acha Breid de Rava recants. He says, you're right, lettuce is fine, I shouldn't be going for Mirta. Sorry, Alan.
Your interpretation is a little different than what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Interpretation of rot generally means mild and then becomes bitter aftertaste.
Right, so I don't think that's pshat in the Gemara. The reason I don't think it's pshat in the Gemara is because of where we're going with this. You'll see in the Yerushalmi.
Okay.
You're right that it's a possible technical translation of it, but it doesn't fit as everybody's going to take this Gemara. So what we've seen here in the Bavli is that they accept lettuce, and one of the Chachamim is going for something really bitter, and he is rebuked, and he recants, and instead he stops going for that which is bitter. He says, you're right, lettuce is sufficient. The Yerushalmi version of it is a little bit more clear than the Bavli version of it, because in the Bavli version, I interpolated the explanation. In other words, the Bavli version has Rav Acha Breid de Rava going for Mirta. The challenge is, what, you want that because it's more bitter? You can just have lettuce. But he doesn't explain that lettuce is actually sweet explicitly in the Bavli. The Yerushalmi does. Source base. Hey Sivun, they ask the question, Harei Chazeres Matok? They say explicitly, Chazeres is sweet. Hare eino karei Chazeres ela matok. Not only that, it's actually called sweet. That's what people call lettuce. They call lettuce something sweet. So Bechia, B'shem Rav Hoshea said, Kol atzman ein hadavar taloi ela b'chazeres, which I brought you the Karban Ha'edah's explanation in brackets. He says, don't object. He says, the whole mitzvah is Chazeres. Don't tell me it's not eligible because it's sweet. That's the mitzvah. Ma chazeres tchilasa matok v'sofa mar, just like chazeres starts out sweet and ends up bitter. And again, I'm saying it's not within the meal, it's over the season. It becomes more bitter, and you'll see others will take it that way. Kav aswa mitzriyim lavosenu b'mitzrayim. That's what the Egyptians did to our ancestors, not with the idea of them luring us in with that whole separate medrash about Paro going down and saying, I'm going to work also. Not that, but rather, when the brothers of Yosef first come down, they're told, live wherever you want, and so on. And then they enslave them.
So nothing to do with eating. If you start eating it, it's
Correct.
And you think it has to do more with the season.
With the season. And that's the way it's going to be taken when we get to the Acharonimon. That's the way they read this. But the upshot of Yerushalmi is that the question of, well, isn't lettuce sweet, is not a new question. It's an ancient question. And the Gemara said, we understand your objection and overruled. Yeah.
It doesn't say chazeret anywhere.
Yeah. Well, Torah doesn't say anything. It calls it mirorit.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're going to have to address is, how does it fit the criteria of mirorim if in fact it is sweet? But what his answer is right now is that there's some other trait of becoming bitter, which is what makes it qualify. This is why it's okay. Aside from the bodily play on words on the word chasa, which is cute.
Isn't kind of amazing that in those days, when they presumably were already using whatever they were for more, for at least probably 600-700 years, there's a machlokes about what was more.
Well, it's not a machlokes. In other words, the Gemara, the Mishnah presented it, it said there's a range of species that are acceptable for you to use. It isn't that you have to be using a particular species. So the debate that goes on is, how broad is this list? Because the Gemara does say there in the Bavli, I skipped it because it wasn't relevant for us, that if you can't get one of the items on the list, so just get any bitter vegetable.
So obviously they were using different things in
the
days.
Yeah, correct. It wasn't a fixed thing, like it has to be X. It was much more about a class of things than about any particular item. And we know that it varied over the ages. In North Africa, in the 10th, 11th century, they're using cardoon artichoke. It really did vary.
To make it into a holy but for Korach, they take the actual mar.
What does the actual mar mean?
What is it called?
Lettuce.
No, not the lettuce.
I know what he means, but I'm telling him it's lettuce.
Not the lettuce. The horseradish.
Right, so I'm telling you, stop calling that the actual mower. Because it
is.
I grew up with horseradish, and I still have it on the table as a zecher, and we eat it, and we like it, but not as part of the mitzvah.
But for kolach, you use
lettuce. Sorry.
No. Okay.
Yeah. The
this year too?
Preaching the gospel here.
We do it the same? We do it too? Sandwich
with lettuce. Yeah.
For more or for chazeres?
By the way, it's a lot easier.
I'll bet.
I mean, everything falls out because we were using the wrong matzah. Yeah. That's a different shear.
I never thought it.
Their matzah was a softer, thicker matzah.
Like pizza. To use lettuce for cook.
Yeah.
I use more, wouldn't it?
Right, so their matzah was thicker than the matzah that we had. That's the origin of gebrachts, of not using gebrachts, because of the concern that there might be some flour in it that that gets wet and then it rises. But yes, it was thicker than ours. The Shulchan Aruch says your matzah. The Shulchan Aruch says from the Gemara that you can't. No, it's not Ashkenazi. I'll tell you what it is in a second. It's not that. I'll tell you in a second. Yeah. But the Shulchan Aruch says the maximum width of your matzah, the maximum thickness of your matzah, is a tefach. 3.6 inches.
Delicious.
I mean, it's an entirely different thing. You can go online. There are websites where they sell the soft matzahs, like softmatzah.com. Right. They have it. I'm told that it's not so good. They have to freeze it in order to ship it and whatever. But people do have this. But in terms of where we ended up with our matzah, it's actually because of industrialization. Because they ended up with machines to run the matzah and to make it thinner. And that became the standard. It's a very thin matzah.
It became stale.
Well, I'm sure it would. Yeah. But it was industrialization that gave us this sort of standardized, really thin matzah. That's where it comes from. I have a shiur on machine matzah.
There was an article, I think, that was written.
There have been a few articles on the topic.
Akira, he wrote a book.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
Yeah. It was thicker. Yeah. Okay, so that introduces us to this issue of using lettuce, even though the Gemara itself notes that lettuce is sweet. The problem with this is the set of sources that I bring you from Gimel through Yud Aleph, all of which are going to seem to say that you're not supposed to use something sweet, you should have something bitter. We start with source Gimel, Gemara im Psachim, in that same sugya that I brought you in Aleph, just the flipped page, Lamatesam with Beis. Kololo Sheldavar, here's the rule. Kol sheyesh bo tam marur yotzinbo, v'chol she'ein bo tam marur ein yotzinbo. This is what I said to you. If you don't have one of the items on the list, it has to have the taste of maror, which sounds like it ought to be bitter. And then, if you take a look at source Dalid, the Gemara in Arvei Psachim talking about dipping in the charoses. V'yomar of Papa, lo nishki inish maror b'charoses. Or Papa says, you should not leave the maror in the charoses. In other words, when you dip it a little and take it out. Dilma agav chalye de tavlin mevatale lemore, because otherwise, as a result of the spices that you have in the charoses, it will lose its sharpness as maror, or its bitterness, I should say, as maror. Ubain and tam maror v'leka, and you require the taste of maror, and that won't be there. So that's another example of wanting a maror taste. If you take a look at source hay, another gemara in the last parak in Psachim, when it says, you should be familiar with this, because this is from Rabban Gamliel, it's a Mishnah, not a Gemara. Maror, why do we have the maror in Pesach Matzah Maror? Al shum shemeru ha-mitzvim es chayei avoseinu b'mitzrayim. Because they made the lives of our ancestors bitter. Shenema v'ayimaru es chayeihem. Or another example of this is source Vav. Amar Rava. Bala matzah yatza. Bala maror lo yatza. This is our edition of that Gemara. Rava says if you swallow the matzah without chewing it, you still fulfill your obligation. Good luck.
Yeah.
If you swallow the matzah, well, I guess no. And if you had broken it up in advance, that would be a case. So you swallow the maror without the matzah without chewing it, you would say, if you swallow the maror without chewing it, lo yatzah, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Why did you not fulfill your obligation? So Rashbam says in source Zion, Bala maror lo yatzah, deba'inan ta'am maror, we require the taste of maror, v'leka, you won't have it. Demishem hachi kafid rachmano limareres piv shel ochel, zecher limarvayimaru es chayehem. Because the Torah was concerned to make sure the person eating it should have bitterness in his mouth, like the pasuk vayimaru es chayehem, that they made the lives of our ancestors bitter. So Rashbam says the reason why you can't swallow maror whole to fulfill the mitzvah is because you need the taste of bitterness. Now Rashi there has an alternate addition. If you take a look at source Ches, working with the words that are in brackets but not the word that's in parentheses, Bala maror yatza. He says you do fulfill your obligation if you swallow the maror, but his reason is efsher shelo tam bo tam maror, because he says you'll taste something. So even Rashi, who says you do fulfill your obligation if you swallow the maror, does not deny that you need to taste the maror. He just says you taste it even when you swallow it whole. So therefore, again, another set of sources arguing that you do have to taste bitterness. Gerard, you were going to ask that before?
No.
Okay. And then one more on the same point in source tests. The Shulchan Aruch writes, V'achar kach yikach kizayis maror v'yishak enu kula b'charoses. You have to take an olive-sized amount of maror, and you dip it in the charoses, and then he says, don't leave it in there too long, and you have to shake off the charoses, and that's a separate point. But he says, you take a kizayis. That's the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch. Now watch what happens here. The Mishnah Brura on kizayis writes that you have to be careful about what you count towards your kizayis. He says, Kizayis maror, v'afilu achal kelach shalem im ha'olin kibriyasa, lo yatza kol she'in bo kizayis. Even if you eat a complete leaf, complete stem, with the leaves, in its form, like it is on the plant, you didn't fulfill your obligation kol she'in bo kizayis. You didn't fulfill your obligation if you don't have a kizayis. Now, why does the Mishnah Brura need to say that?
The runner
cups, right? Fire drink from the bottle, the runner cups, right? I mean, no, I'm fine drinking from the bottle, I just don't want to... Okay, sorry, Al, you were saying?
If it's a complete period or a complete item, then you don't need to...
Good. So, I might have thought, when it comes to the laws of brachos, we say that if I eat a kizayis of something, I need to make a bracha achrona, or a nefashos, whatever it is, right? We're familiar with that. So, let's say, for example, I'm eating blueberries, right? So if I eat a whole blueberry, there's an argument to say that even though it's not a kizayis, nonetheless, I'll need to make a bracha achrona. So the argument goes that regarding maror, if I have have a whole stem with whatever leaves are on it, but it happens to be less than a kizayis, I'm still yotze. I still fulfilled my obligation, and the Mishnah Berurah is telling me it's not so. I need to eat a kizayis. Having the leaves and all that doesn't constitute a shear. Now, the question is, why not? But I also need to get a different cup, because I've got a split on the side.
For it.
Thanks. So so why does the Mishnah Berurah disqualify a bria? Why does he say kizayis specifically? What would you say? Why doesn't he say, well, as long as you have a whole thing, that's good enough? Take a look at the Sharat Zion, in which he explains himself in Source Yud Aleph. He says, "Va'afilu lemanda amar le'el siman reish yud seif aleph the davar chashuv kibriya mevarchin bracha achrona afilu b'deleka kizayis." He says, even within the view in the laws of brachos, that if it's a bria, therefore it is significant. Therefore, we make a bracha achrona. Hachaleka bria afilu achalah im hasharashim. He says here, it's not called a bria, even if you eat it with the roots. Why?
Is it bria or birya?
People properly say birya. I'm not so sure why it should be birya instead of bria. So he says, here it won't be called a bria or a birya, even if it has the roots. Sharei ein yotzin b'sharashin, because you don't fulfill maror with a root. Which again, separate point. V'im kein, if so, asi sharashim dirishus umivatlim maror de mitzvah. So therefore, effectively, if I eat the whatever it is that I'm using, leaves of whatever they are, along with the root is actually bad. It takes away from that which is actually maror that I'm eating. That's a bad thing. So that's his first explanation for why we don't say that eating a full a davar chashuv, eating the entire entity, won't help you. Then he says, "See Rabbi Kiva Eger," because Rabbi Kiva Eger disagrees with this point. I am a chedusha Rabbi Kiva Eger, shepikbek betam zeh. But then he brings a second reason why bria doesn't help. He says, "Veli nira pashut," it appears obvious to me. "Ditzivoi haTorah hu leachol maror zecher levayim maror es chayehem." He says the Torah instructed to eat maror to remember that they made our lives bitter. "Upachos mikizayis lo chashva haTorah lezecher." If it's less than a kizayis, the Torah does not consider it to be a memorial to the bitterness. "V'imkein may mahani shu bria v'hu chashuv." Who cares if it's a bria and therefore it's significant? "Halo akopanim b'koshu leka zecher." If you have a small quantity, it may be important, but it doesn't remember the bitterness. In other words, it's sort of like the discussion regarding the walls of a sukkah. The question that comes up regarding the walls of a sukkah is, are you able to use the principle of lovewood? If I run strings and there is less than 3 tefach in between the strings, so therefore I can consider it solid for some laws, like for Eruv laws, right? Can I apply that regarding sukkah? Or do you say that by running strings you don't remember the sukkot in which we dwelt when we left Mitzrayim? Right? It doesn't look like a hut. It looks like a bunch of strings running around a space. So the argument here that he brings, his second argument for why you can't just say, I will use a bria that's less than a kizayis, is because the point is to experience bitterness. And if the point is to experience bitterness, I need to ingest a certain amount. And the fact that it's like a certain amount, because it was an important thing, may be important for Hilchos Brachos, but it doesn't make it bitter enough for me to have fulfilled my quota.
How does he know that? Lo chashva haTorah lezecher. I mean, how does he know that the Torah requires that level of kizayis tamar, as opposed to a beer?
So that's where we're going. That's where we're going. But that's the assumption that the Mishnah Berurah seems to be making, that the reason why the Shulchan Aruch says to have a kizayis is because the Torah is saying, eat a kizayis of bitterness. And therefore, you can't substitute a bria and say, well, that's like a kizayis also.
So lettuce is not really bitter.
So that's exactly my point in bringing you all of these sources. We've seen source after source since Gimel that indicate that there is something to having a bitter taste. our Gemara notwithstanding, and especially the Yerushalmi, which said we're good with sweet lettuce, we saw a Gimel that said the defining characteristic is yesh bo ta'am maror, that is a taste of maror. We saw Dalet, which said don't leave it in the charoses too long or you will lose the taste of maror. We saw hay from Pesach Masu maror, because they made our ancestors' lives bitter. We saw Vav, in which we said if you swallow the maror, you're not yotze, and the reason is because you didn't get the bitterness. And even Rashi, who said you are yotze, says, yeah, because you get bitterness even still. But he's not denying the importance is the bitterness. And then we see now, the kezias, which the Mishnah Berurah is saying, means a kezias of bitter taste. So what do we do with the fact that our Gemara said it's okay for it to be sweet?
No, according to the other version, which basically says it tastes sweet and then turns bitter.
Yeah.
It's still shayach to achieve that as long as you have a big enough piece.
Assuming that we meant sweet and it will become bitter as you eat it.
Right.
Correct. So, well, you'll see. You'll see where we're going with it.
So the reason I learned why you can use letters?
Definitely.
The reason that I learned why you can use letters, from all we don't mention.
Which is?
The middle part is bitter. So the leaves, the side part is sweet, that's correct, but the stem, the middle part of the letters...
Just wait, we're getting there. Flip the page. And we see a machlokes among contemporary poskim. The Chazon Ish on the one side and Rav Avadya Yosef on the other side. The Chazon Ish in Moed Kufchav Dalet, in when he writes on Psachim, it goes based on the Dapim within Simanim. So it's Psachim Lamites Bet Aleph within Simon Kufchav Dalet, says, first of all, there is no question that Maror has to be bitter. And he brings the text that we just looked at in Gimel through Tess. So most, if not all of them, he brings as part of his discussion. And then he writes, V'lachay Nira, it appears to me, as far as this Yerushalmi that said, don't worry about it being bitter, he says, you misunderstand the Yerushalmi. V'lachay Nira, D'gam B'Yerushalmi Sabur She'en Yotzin B'Chazeres Ad She'yipol Bo Hamarirus. He says, in order for you to use lettuce, it has to be bitter lettuce. Well, then what is the Yerushalmi talking about with sweet? Ella de Kashiale, what was bothering the Rishalmi was, Kevan Shenigmar Pirio, Va'adayin Eno Maror, since when the lettuce ripens, it's not bitter, Ve'en Yotzimbo, and you couldn't use it at that stage for the mitzvah, Havilon Lema'ute, we should exclude lettuce altogether, She'eno Bechlam Mirorim Dekra, that won't be what the Pasuk calls Mirorim. My havamina, my initial thought was, you need to eat something that is bitter from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. And that would really demonstrate the bitterness of the slavery in Egypt. Umeshani, and the Rishalmi's answer was, de adarava, just the opposite, kama shetchilaso matok v'sofo mar, nizgar tfei shibud Mitzrayim. The Rishalmi's answer was no, starting out sweet and ending up bitter, that's actually what the slavery was like in Egypt. Ul'olam en yotzin bo, elakishvar nafel bo hamarius. You don't actually fulfill the mitzvah unless the lettuce you have is bitter. So the position of a Chazon Ish is, in fact, you need to have bitter lettuce. Sweet lettuce, as far as the Chazon Ish is concerned, is not going to fulfill the mitzvah. And it's clear he's talking seasonally. You see the way that he frames it.
But isn't he saying also that if it doesn't start off sweet and end up bitter, that you're also not yet?
Yeah, that's part of the Yerushalmi. That's
what
it says. Yeah.
Not just bitter lettuce, it has to be sweet and bitter.
Well, it has to be sweet in the beginning of the season, and then it becomes bitter as the season goes on. Right. That's the Chazon Ish's position. Now, the funny thing is, though, that realistically, if you were a Jew living in Germany, Poland, or wherever it was, I don't know how you would be getting bitter lettuce. In other words, in the springtime, your lettuce is just starting. It's just starting out, and that's how they ended up with horseradish, was that they didn't have it.
But anywhere
you are, your lettuce is still early on in the season.
We used the tops of onions.
You mean the green
stuff that grows out of it.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, take a look at the.
It's green and it's
right. Right, you qualify on those grounds. But take a look at Yud Gimel, where Rav Avadya disagrees. I didn't bring you the entire tshuva. It's a fun read. He spends a lot of time telling people not to eat horseradish. He says, don't eat horseradish. He says, when people eat horseradish, they don't end up eating the shear, because they can't eat a kezias of horseradish. And he says, if they do, then it's dangerous, and therefore it's wrong for them to be doing it. He says, some people quote the Ridvaz as opposing lettuce because lettuce is sweet. Then he says it will become bitter if it is left in the ground for the season. And he adds the root of the lettuce is bitter. I know, Charlie, if that was what you were thinking of. He says that's what Rav Avadia says. But then take a look at what he says regarding the Chazanish. He says in Yud Gimel, Umashakasav Agon Baal Chazanish, Shetzarach Shayash HaAchasav Akarka, Ad Sheyismarer, Va'az Yotzin Bo Yidei Chova. As far as what the Chazanish wrote, that you have to leave the lettuce in the ground until it becomes bitter, and then you could fulfill. B'mechila Mikvo Toraso. He says, with all due respect, Ein Dvar Mechuvar Mahalacha. His words are not so clear halachically. As long as in its species it could reach bitterness, you fulfill your obligation even when it is still sweet. As seen from the Rishonim who he quoted earlier. And any time you're not sure what the halacha should be, say ure heachatzibur noagim. Go see what people do, and that's what you should do. He's quoting Mishalmi. No. Ukvar Pashat Amina Beretz Yisrael Uvachol, it should be probably Bavel, Umitzrayim Vesuria. He says, this is what has spread in Israel, in Bavel, in Mitzrayim, in Syria. Lotzes Yidechovas Mitzvas Maror Bechasa, to fulfill it with lettuce, Vechein Iker Vezeborur. So there, that's what Rav Avadia says. He says, I know what the Chazanish wrote, and that doesn't change my mind. So that's his position. So I saw last week a very interesting approach to this whole debate, and that was what really set me on doing it for the shiur. There's a journal called Hamaor that has been coming out for decades. At one point, I had the stock of Hamaor and Hapardesis from Rav David Lifshitz itself. One of them that I happened to open up just because it was in.
Was by
Mayor Amsel.
That was the uncle. No, in Montreal, there were his nephews lived in Montreal.
Ah.
And, yeah.
Okay. So the. So I happened to pull one out because it was a Nissan Ear one. And I was looking for ideas, and lo and behold, I found an article there from a Rabbi Mordechai Yehuda Kravitz. I gave you the heading in this section here from Hamar Samach Aleph, Year Samach Aleph, Volume Dalid, Tavshin Samach Ches. And he had a very interesting approach to this debate about using something sweet. He said, fundamentally, the question is the mitzvah of eating maror entirely about experiencing something bitter? Is that really what this mitzvah is about? He noted the Gemara that we saw, we didn't see it, we saw the end of it. We saw when the Shulchan Aruch says you need a kezias. But that comes from the Gemara here in Source Yud Daled. The Gemara here says you have to eat a kezias of maror, and then it says, Achalan lechatzain, if you ate it, meaning the maror, in half olive amounts. So you had a half olive, and then you waited, and then another half olive. Yatza, that's fine. Ubilvad shlo yishav bein achila lachaverta yosef mikedei achilas pras. As long as you don't have a gap of more than kedei achilas pras in between. Kedei achilas pras is a shear of time. The time it would take you to eat half a loaf of bread. And what that means exactly we can discuss, but you're talking about many minutes. Like it's 7, 8, 9 minutes is the lower end that people usually give for this.
Is that different than any other?
It's not. This is not a maror rule. This is not a maror rule. What Alan points out is the same rule will apply. Let's say I am having kiddush for Makom Seuda. So I'm supposed to have a meal with my kiddush. So I start eating, I have a cracker, and then I wait, and then I have more crackers. So did that work? The answer is, if my gap in between is this period of time, it didn't work. Or, if I sit down and I have half a pretzel, and then I wait. And then after kedachilas pras, I eat another half a pretzel. I don't make an ahamichya. Because the two eatings no longer combine. So that's what he's saying here. It's not a law in maror. It's a law in ahila. That the definition of eating requires that you not wait too long in between. That's the rule the Gemara says. So on that, the Rush writes, source Tesvav, he says something that gets him into a lot of trouble. He says, Mishum demevarech al achilas maror, tzara sheyochal kizanis. He says, because you're making a bracha of al achilas maror, therefore you have to eat a kizayis. Dein achila v'pachot v'pachos mi kizayis, because there's no such thing as eating less than a kizayis. When we say al achilas maror, it has to be achila. Aval b'yirakos harishonos, whereas with the first vegetables, by which he means karpas, shemavarech aleim bar pri adama ba'alma, where you just make a bar pri adama, ve'ein mazkirin aleim achila, there's no bracha of al achilas karpas. The word achila doesn't appear. So therefore, ain't sachmeim kizayis, there's no need to have a kizayis, and in fact, we know the position of not having a kizayis specifically, and so on. So the Rosh says that you must have a kizayis of maror, because your bracha is al achilas maror. So, of course, what question is that going to lead to? No. What question is that going to lead to? The reason I have to have a kizayis of maror is because... No. The reason I have to have a kizayis of maror is because my bracha says al achilas maror. If they had made it some other bracha, if they had said al mitzvahs maror, then there wouldn't be a mitzvah of eating a kizayis of maror. That was it. It's only because of the language of the bracha?
It's because of
Zeraisa. What a bizarre idea that is. Well, Zeraisa, Derabanan, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit. The Shagas Aryeh gets very angry at this idea that he's suggesting. He says, you know what then? What about when you have korech? There's no bracha of al achilas korech. So you don't have to have a kizayis of maror in your korech. In source Tazayin from the Shagas Aryeh, he says, ulefizeh, based on this, ha-maror sha'ochel bekricha, when you have maror in your korech, de'enu mevarech aleihem afilu bar pri adama, there's no bracha on the korech. You say your zicha le-mikdash kehillah paragraph, that's it. Eino tzarech kizayis. Da'amidina maror bekol shusagi, because by law, you could just have any minimal amount and call that maror. The only reason we need a kizayis is because the bracha is worded that way. In Cain, he says, if that's true, then you don't need a kizayis for korech. And then he says, well, if that's true, then how do I explain the pasuk? Right? The Torah is pasuk for maror. We have two pasukim, one from Pesach Rishon, one from Pesach Sheni. The one in Pesach Rishon, Tzli Eish Umatzos, Al Mirorim Yochluhu. Right? Roasted, about the Korban Pesach. Roasted on a fire, with matzah, on Maror you shall eat it. The second one, the Pasuk from Pesach Sheni, Al Matzos Umarim Yochluhu, you shall eat it on matzah and Maror. So he says, I guess if you're telling me that the only reason I need a kizayis for Maror is because of the language of the Bracha, then that Yochluhu in the Pasuk can't be talking about maror. It has to be talking about the Korban Pesach. He says, "Lefi dvarav zal." According to the words of the Rosh, "Tzarech lomer," you'll have to say, "Dahad dichsiv al matzos umorim yochluhu hayochluhu lo koy el apesach lachud v'lo matza umar she'imo." The word yochluhu must refer only to the Korban Pesach, which isn't the end of the world. That actually makes sense. That's not a problem. But what he says, I only brought you an excerpt from the Shagas Aryeh. But he says, I don't understand. All the other times when the Torah gives me a mitzvah of eating something, we do say the mitzvah is a kizayis, without a bracha defining it so. Anytime you have a mitzvah of eat something, we assume it's a kizayis. Matzah, it's a kizayis, other than two kizayisim for motzi matzah, whatever. But it's basically a kizayis mitzvah for the matzah. Why is it that maror doesn't require a kizayis naturally? That's one question he asks. Another question he asks is, I don't understand then why they made that as the bracha. If I don't require a kizayis for maror, why did the Chachamim give me a bracha that would trigger a requirement for a kizayis? Right? If I didn't need it, why did they make it so? And he says, the language in the Braisa of where you eat half olives, right? The language in your Dalet, if you eat it in halves, you're yotze, as long as you don't have a gap in between. So it sounds like what that Bryce is saying is that it's a bidyeved, right? and saying that in the event that you had a gap, b'di'eved, you are not yotzei. Which introduces the possibility that I'm going to have to go back and eat again with a new bracha. But that's a bracha of atala, because mid'oraisa, I fulfilled my mitzvah. It's only this bracha thing that's making me do a kazayas. So the Shagas Aryeh is very upset by this idea that the rush seems to be floating here. And this Rabbi Kravitz, in his article, offers the following possibility. He says, it could be, go back to the debate we had about swallowing maror with Rashi and the Rashbam, where the Rashbam said, if you swallow maror, you're not yotzei because you didn't taste the kazayas of maror. Whereas Rashi said, well, there's some tasting that goes on. So he says, perhaps, according to Rashi, the essential mitzvah is eating. And the Vayimavaru es chayehem is a zecher. You're supposed to also, you know, you should be aware of the bitterness. While Rashbam says, no, the whole point is the bitterness. And therefore you need the bitterness that comes with chewing. So he applies that to the Rush, and he says the Rush agrees with the Rashbam. That the point really is the bitterness. And therefore, he says, you don't really require a kezias, because you can have bitterness without a kezias. That's the way that he frames the rush. He says, what the rush is trying to tell me is, the core mitzvah of maror is not an eating mitzvah. The core mitzvah of maror is a being bitter mitzvah. Right, you feel the bitterness. The Chacham said, we want you to have a kezias, and that will ensure that you've had your bitterness. But the core mitzvah didn't actually require a kezias. That's the way he understands the Rush. Whereas Rashi says, no, the core mitzvah is eating, and there should be a sense of bitterness that goes along with it. Now, you'll ask me, is there a practical application? And the answer is yes. I'll give you two practical applications of this question. Practical application number one is source Yud Zayin. Source Yud Zayin is a Gemara in Psachim about leaning. Itmar. Matzah, tzarech haseva. You have to lean for matzah. Maror ain tzarech haseva. Maror does not require leaning, and in fact the Shulchan Aruch rules that way. Knowledge should be a pshita. What does that indicate to you when it says it doesn't require leaning? What does that imply? No, but it's saying it doesn't require leaning means if you lean, you're fine.
Yeah.
Right? You just don't have to lean. That's the way it sounds. In fact, there are those who argue you shouldn't be yotzei at all because it defeats the whole point. The point is, I'm supposed to be bitter and upset. And not leaning is demonstration of royalty. So take a look at Suras Yudches. The Magen Avraham Paskins like the Beis Yosef. You are yotzei. He says on below Haseba in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says eat it without leaning. So the Magen Avraham says, like the Beis Yosef and like the language that we saw in Yitzayin, v'machalo v'haseba yatsa. If you leaned, you're still yotzei. So the Pri Chadash is the one who says, how can be yotzei? It's tarti d'sasrei. You're contradicting yourself. He says when the Gemara says eino tzarech, it actually means asur. You're not allowed to lean. It's just that they use language that was parallel to the matzah language. For matzah it said tzarech, so for maror it said eino tzarech. But he disagrees. So maybe you could suggest it's the same debate. The debate is this a mitzvah of eating with some bitterness involved? Or is that really supposed to be a bitter experience? That may be the machlokes. Second of our practical applications, what about having maror that is not suitable for eating? That's really inedible. What do you mean? So the Rama writes in Source Yud Tes, quoting the Agur, early Ashkenaz, "Vim ein lo echad me'elu hayirakos yikach lana oshar yerek mar." If you don't have one of the items on the list of five maror species, so you take some bitter, you take a la'ana or some bitter vegetable. What is la'ana? You know? La'ana is wormwood, which is not edible. It's not a food. You don't eat wormwood. So the Bir Halacha says, what are you talking about in Source Chaf? Well, the Fiani is Daiti Tzarech Ilan. He says, in my humble opinion, you know, it's the Rama talking after all, but you really have to wonder, Shekfia Nira, Lana Eina Ru'i La'achila. It's not edible. Ukedemashma Mikamaksum Shemeta'er Kaldavara Belana. In Tanakh, when you want to talk about someone experiencing something bitter, right? Hisbiani Bamorim Hirvani La'ana in Echa. It's a terrible taste. It's not, you don't, no one eats that. But then he continues to cite the Prima Gadim, who says that that you could use maror that's not suitable for eating because of vayamaru es chayehem. And again, same debate. Right. If you say it's not really about eating, it's about experiencing bitterness, so I'm okay using something that's really not a food. So, applying...
You have to put something into your mouth.
Yeah.
Because it says
you just can't have it, your in-laws.
No, don't start trouble. So the I saw that joke before about starting sweet and ending up bitter. I don't know if that had to do with in-laws or not, but the point is, we can now apply this back to the debate between the Chazon Ish and Rav Avadya Yosef.
Right.
And the Chazon Ish is saying you need a bitter experience. It's not enough that you have lettuce that, if you left it in the ground, would become more bitter. It has to be a bitter experience, whereas Rav Avadya says no. It's an eating experience that evokes the slavery of Egypt. And that image is already sufficient for us, and you fulfill that when you have the lettuce. That's the two different ways to look at maror. I wanted to close with one funny note that I had never been aware of. Some of you saw probably in the email that the Beis Medrash sent out this morning that we put out a Seder companion.
Right.
With Dibrei Torah, you'll see it out in Shul also. Thank you, Alan, for being one of the sponsors. So what we did with this Seder companion is we got Divrei Torah not only from current Avreichim but also past Avreichim from the Kollel. And David Zirkind, who's now the assistant rabbi at the Jewish Center in Manhattan, sent me this article with sources I had never seen before, with a whole other take on what Maror is. Take a look at this Ibn Ezra in source Chaf Aleph. This is weird. But you can't give a shiur on sweet maror without mentioning this. Amar echad mechachmei Sfarad, I don't know who he's quoting, but from one of the chachmei Sfarad, Yadua, ki alecha tigbar be'eretz Mitzrayim ba'avur meimei hayor. There's a lot of humidity in Egypt as a result of the Nile. U'ba'avur shelo yared shem geshem, and because it doesn't rain, ki ha'avir hu lach tamid, so you just have high humidity in the air in Egypt. So their practice was that at every meal they would have bitter herbs and grasses and mustard at their meal. Even if all they had for their meal was bread, they still would have bitter things in which to dip the bread. It was an antidote for the humidity in the air.
Va'anachnu nismoch adam.
Yeah. So the Ibn Ezra himself doesn't follow this. He says, "Va'anachnu nismoch adas kadmoneinu zal shapir shulanu ki amorim zecher levamayru as chayehem." He says, "We think that we're doing it for the bitterness, not this." But he quotes the idea. But take a look at the Or HaChaim, Rabbi Chaim Ibn Attar, writing centuries after Ibn Ezra, he's 17th century, when he says, or maybe 18th even, he says, "Lefi pshat hakasuv, lefi ma shera'inu." He says, Pshan in the Pasuk, as we've seen it, is that the Korban Pesach has to be roasted on the fire and has to be whole. The idea of roasting and having it whole and not breaking the bones and so on is to show freedom and royalty and no one is controlling us. Gam hamarorim sheyitzav Hashem hu litzad kichein derech ochlei tzli. He says that's why you have maror also, because that's what happens when people eat roast. Leachol imo davar chad. You eat something sharp with it. Ki bazeh ye'erav lechech. And it makes the roast sweeter to the palate. Lechech ha'ochel. V'yocha b'chol avas nafshel. And you eat with greater desire because you've had your appetite stirred by this bitter or sharp, in his case, food. So the sweetness of the carbon of the carbon Pesach is more detectable when you have the maror. I knew you would like this. When you have the marorim first.
Okay, do that. The next one is the chef show.
He's all kinds of things that you would think would be at the, you know, chili peppers. Like chili peppers and stuff like that, and it brings out a different flavors, you know.
So the upshot of what we've said I can't take Kaf Aleph and Kaf Beis all that seriously because we have too many sources that talk about by Maruas Dayhem and so on. Nonetheless, the general upshot is that really there are two ways to look at the mitzvah of Maror. If I look at it as you have to have a bitter experience, then sweet lettuce doesn't qualify. But if I look at it as eat something and it has a memorial to the bitterness of Egypt, then yes, the sweet lettuce qualifies as per what the Yerushalmi seems to say. Granted, the Chazon Ish has a different way to read that Yerushalmi.
Could it be both?
Well, not if you're what you're eating is bitter.
Masa is schizophrenic, right?
What do you mean?
It's lachmoni, right?
Yeah.
But it's also the zecher to what they carried out of Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
At the time of Buddha.
Right. It has a dual meaning. Yeah. Right, but there you
fulfill. Horror also has that dual meaning.
But there you fulfill. Oh, you mean dual in terms of the thing you enjoy as well as the bitterness.
It's a symbol of freedom and it's a symbol of
strength. Right. That okay. I mean, the truth is, there's another piece. I think it's the note of Yehuda who says that when you say Pesach Matzah Maror, it's technically out of order.
Yes.
Because the Maror was before we got out. So he says it's because we were supposed to be there 400 years. We're only there 210. Why? Because the bitterness of what they did to us in Egypt got us out early.
Right.
So he says, so therefore the Maror was helping us out.
The same thing.
Okay. Maybe the Gross said it. Maybe I'm remembering wrong with the Note of Yehuda.
So the horseradish that many of us use today.
Yeah. Really